Happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. Wow, 29th of December. This is it for Gregorian 2020.
Yes.
That's all, folks.
Wow. I mean, there's a couple more days, but...
You know, but this is the last...
Last podcast. Yeah, we actually were at Shabbat on Friday and had the moment of realizing... It was Christmas also, and had that moment of realizing it was our last Shabbat of 2020. Yeah.
The grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a joy in just walking this journey as a big, happy family,
mm-hmm.
knowing that God is good. But yeah, 2020.
Yeah, so grateful for this year. So incredibly grateful for it. Yeah.
You know, I think when I was, and I maybe others can relate to this, but because we were, many of us at least, were born, you know, really in the 20th century. And so we were on the verge of not only new decades and new centuries, but new millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had this great anticipation, you know, for these big monumental moments, you know, like 1999,
yeah,
and the year 2000 and all that, and
mm-hmm.
and it's hilarious because the concept of living in the 20s was like ancient, like distant future.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the long distant future. Now we're about to finish our first year of the 20s. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Very exciting.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A year, and we're in a whole new decade. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And 1 year was not a decade.
Right.
But it felt like it.
It felt like it, but it was not.
No. No, not at all.
Yeah. So, 2020.
Yeah, and we've heard from many of you, you're still looking up because you can still see the conjunction. Okay, I'll have to just say, I got braces yesterday, so I have quite a lisp today. Gosh, I was going to try to ignore it, but it's just present and accounted for, so hi. It'll be better next week, the dentist said.
Yes, no, it will be. We know it
yeah,
will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've watched others.
Yeah.
Go through this journey.
Yes.
And it does last for a day or two.
Yeah. It was just yesterday. Gosh. Every word has an S in it. What a... Save me or slay me. I don't know. But help.
Trying to figure out how to complete you by giving you your S's.
Yeah.
Just yesterday.
Don't do this. So bad. It's actually wonderful. I really like it's quite comfortable and a lot better than the appliance I had. But yeah, I've got a few days. I don't want to say Yosemite Sam.
No, you don't. At least we can laugh about it.
Exactly.
It's you awesome. Know,
exactly.
Exactly. Well, so we've got a little New Year's party coming up.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate. You know, we aren't celebrating that we survived 2020.
Right.
We are celebrating all God did in 2020.
Yes.
You know, whenever you come into a new year, you're celebrating what He did, and it gives you such anticipation for the next year.
Mm-hmm. And we have lots of that expectancy, one might argue.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it has been a big year here. You know, because we haven't had a reunion since February.
We did one. We had winter tea. I know, it's like...
Yeah, I have to remember.
Reconcile.
Of course we did. That's when we talked about Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
Haresh.
Yeah.
And so that was a big one. But the corner is almost unrecognizable now that we have our concrete parking lot And we have some signs, and we've already talked about this, but it's just these places all look very different now. So
yeah, the tiny houses are coming close to completion.
It's going
to be silence retreats. Now, no, who wants to be silent now? Who
right.
wants to go be by themselves? But you know what? We will.
That's right.
We're going to do it. We've been practicing.
We all want to be really loud.
Yeah. Together.
And together.
We're going to have silence retreats.
That's right.
It's awesome.
TL. Together and loud. And then we'll have silent and quiet.
Yes.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Well, I think a good place for this podcast is what I'm calling the 2020 recap. It's very short.
Yeah.
You know, when a lot of this began happening in March, April, May, and then June and July, I think one of the themes that we kept hearing Papa say is that we're not going back. I think a lot of people are still thinking, you know, we're going to return back to the world that we had. And that's just not what we're hearing Papa say. And so I think a lot of people in the world are expressing that, you know, okay, how much longer before things go back to normal? And we've heard from Papa, we're going to return forward, but we're not going to return back.
Mm-hmm.
And that attempts to sort of go back won't be the same. You know, it just won't. And I think a lot of people get that. And to many people, that means advances in society and advances in culture. But I think to us, we know that we went from sort of the birth pang to labor. You know, we're actually in the process of seeing this bride come forth. And when that happens, as that happens, it just has an impact on everything. And I'm just praising the Lord. We have the authority to sort of hold things together, if you will, you know, where there is this place for people to come to that as things get darker. And so I just keep seeing storms. Mm-hmm. Is sort of the vision that I've been having is of storms. And, you know, this is not the 2021, you know, message. This is sort of the December the 29th message. And that is there's just storms around us. And I think the one thing that we're seeing as a recap of 2020 is that Papa has not changed, and that the world changing and what became comfortable to us not coming back the way it was can either be a place of depression for us or sort of a non-event for us, like internally, because we're not changed by the world. We remain by Papa, and Papa's changelessness keeps us in that place of trajectory and momentum that haven't changed. We have continued with Papa, and he is preparing us to be the lighthouse in the dark world, the haven in the storm. You know, all of the things that he's been saying become more and more true. The fact that we are surrounded by this shaking is should not be a big surprise. It's like how else would it look like? I think a lot of us, were really down for the rainbows and unicorn mm-hmm. return of people to love. By the time we got to that book, Terraforming Legacy, I realized, oh my gosh, it's going to take an earthquake to get the world to really see how desperately they need love and how desperately they need the God who is love. And, I have one of those apps. I've mentioned this many times, but I have one of those apps on my phone that tells me anytime there's a relatively major earthquake. And I've just noticed, that there's been kind of a wave that's happened. And I really see it just as a sign. It's just a picture. Remember in 2018, we had that same thing happen, but it was like late spring, early summer. It was like in that May, June time frame, July. And it was just like an onslaught of earthquakes and hurricanes and all of these things. And certainly that was a year of shaking. But here we are in December, and there's just this uptick. Our dear, family of Chile, has had some whoppers. And I think there was one like in Croatia last night. And they're happening all over the world in the usual hotspots and a few new ones. But the earth is quaking. And it just, I don't know that it's going to stop, whether it manifests naturally or not. But Papa took me to a couple of things. I think whenever we say that God has not changed, immediately we think, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which is, Hebrews 13, verse 8. But I actually am looking at the Malachi 3, verse 6 version, where God says, I change not. And I get a warm and cozy. That's like an evening with the candles lit for me. Mm-hmm. I've got my whoopee and I'm just surrounded by that. That who have we known? And some of this is repeat, but it is meant to be a recap so that we can go into the new year. Who has been, with us? God has been so good. He's been so good. God has been so good for us. And so when things get so bad in the world, what does that mean to us? Well, if God got so bad, it would be terrible. But God doesn't change. So God remains good in all of these things. And if we can just have that transition as soon as possible, if we haven't already had it, we're going to be great, because not because we're going to be saved and they're all going to die, but because the haven, the sanctuary mm-hmm. is going to be established for many people. And that's what has to happen. So that word change in Hebrew is shana. And shana is in Hebrew is Strong's 8138. There's always a 38 nowadays. I just can't sort of get away from the 38s since Antarctica. But it's interesting, this word change has many deeper meanings, shana. And so one of them is, I repeat not. Mm. And new every morning. And that's a whopper. So it's not that we expect God to do the same exact thing, but we expect him, we have expectancy he's going to be true to his nature. And what has his nature been? Good. Mm-hmm. So I alter not is another deeper meaning of shana. So it's almost like there's not an external force that's going to affect God into becoming something that would be foreign to us. Mm-hmm. We may grow in the fullness of his love or the deepness of of his beauty, but we're not going to see him changed from the goodness to not the goodness. And this is all promised to us. And then here's a big one. A deeper meaning of Shana is disguise. Hmm. And it's like he's always going to be true. Mm-hmm. And I just, again, the wubi is on, the candles are lit, and I'm all wrapped up in this. It's such a beautiful place for us to finish a year like this, digesting the reality that we're not going back. We can return forward, but we can't return back. And, you know, when Jesus was praying right before his crucifixion, we can just do Gospel of John 17. You know, he's praying with this real, just a pierced and a vulnerable heart, because he knows what he's going to walk through. But mm-hmm. he also, it's not just the fear of crucifixion, it's the awe of us. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's praying not only for his apostles that he discipled, but also the ones that would come from their, what they gave. Mm-hmm. And this is where Jesus said the world famous verse 14 and 15, that we are not of this world. And, you know, our reaction to not returning back, if we react to not returning back, it's because we are living a life of this world instead of not of this world. And I really feel like I'm sending up the flare of the final warning that says, if you're not resting with Papa, if you're not resting with God and letting God be the meaning, the purpose, the means, and the meaning of everything that we are and everything that we do, if God isn't there in that, then we're going to be shaken with the earth. Mm-hmm. Instead of standing on the rock while the earth shakes, so that the people run to the rock and we're there to receive them. We're there to, as gatekeepers, to open the gate and let Jesus come as shepherd to the sheep. And I will gleefully be a broken record on this topic, because it is now, is understanding that these beautiful people on this world who do have hearts of compassion, who do have hearts that care. There are so many people that care. You know, it's not a question of whether the caring or the compassion are there. The question is whether or not the trauma of how they've been treated is going to lead them to become evil or to remain the tender people of love that they were originally. Mm-hmm. And because we know, we understand trauma. We understand that that's how people become predators, is they were victims. And so we understand that God is going to shake the world good and hard, because he wants to rescue the world from their self-protection, from their ambition, from all of the dependencies that have risen up because of the childlike faith being hurt by someone. And where will we be? And do not look for this choice tomorrow. It's today. This is a today choice. Are we going to be not of this world? Are we going to be remained in him, so that when storms get more active and get louder and scarier. That we recognize that it's happening. We might be startled, but we're not scared.
Yeah.
Why would we be? Because God has been our rock. And I praise his name that we had, many of us, had the privilege, the joy, the honor of trusting in him when the storm was very quiet. Because we're ready, we should be, when the storm gets loud. And so I think Papa is really prepared us for this. And that if you want to begin the journey into a new year, let it be the understanding that the world needs us now more than ever. And as long as you know who we are, you know, we has to be the children of God, you know, which we know and we don't know, people all over the world. But the children of God who have seen God as their source, the children of God who understand his daily portions, that have walked this journey of being transformed, and we can be a haven. And this is prophecy that we understand fully is upon us. It just is. That the world will need love more today and tomorrow than it ever has. And if we are children of love, then that's the place we get to have. And if we're going to go into a new year, this is how we need to go into it. Reckoning of 2020. 2020 was a year where one of the resources that came from Antarctica was shaking. And one of the resources that came from this ark, you know, from this frozen water that God released is that we are ready. We're ready to love. And the seed has been sown. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who just respond to love in the coming years, and they don't know why. It's just who they are. And it may be people that, you know, you don't expect. You don't expect people who seemed like enemies of love to suddenly just be advocates. And I just hope that every person listening has not invested into something or some person in the world to such a degree that they don't see that we were called to rest in him, and he is the one that's going to do the impossible over and over again, and we will be the children of the impossible because we are in him. He is going to turn arch enemies into advocates.
Mm-hmm.
Period. End of story. If you don't know that, you've missed something over the last decade, because that's the whole point, is you can't look at this and judge it, because tomorrow God may have redeemed the whole thing. And, you know, equally, our friends, or the ones we thought were our friends, may or may not be a part of that. And so what can we depend upon? Him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really, really, really good time to choose, mm-hmm, to be not of this world.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking just over the past few weeks about many of the missions, you know, Antarctica for sure. And alongside that, I've just been thinking of, gosh, the brave and bold risks that people throughout the world have taken. I was thinking of Pipeline and Lipton in Cyprus and the year they chose to explore the foundations of their financial history. And from that, this incredible shaking came. And so much was restored and rebuilt. Think of Sapphire and Cherub in South Africa and the things that they have been willing to explore governmentally and for the people there. And how, you know, thinking of when they went to the airport four times and they went to four different spots and they were like, is it, you know, is it okay that we keep going, you know, to this? And then this huge human trafficking exposure happened, this shaking that allowed people to be rescued. I was remembering Anchor and Harbor, and I don't remember all the details, but they went to a dam and, you know, they did this assignment and they knew the purpose of it. And then after it, this whole, it seems like there was a power outage or the dam broke. I'm so sorry, you guys, I don't remember it exactly. But through it, all these people that were hidden, that were in trafficking and all of these things were exposed. And we certainly want the headline that says, redeemed, you know. And I'm so grateful to be among people who are willing to have the earthquake headline first on the way to that. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we do. That's who we are. And that has been happening. And it has certainly been happening in 2020 to such a magnified degree. We can't ignore it. We can't ignore the shaking. We can't ignore the rumbling. Because it's purposeful, and it, you know, it is an effect of who we are so that he may dwell and be who he is. And that's what we're doing. And I was interested to see what our covenant for this week would be after getting to have the 4 weeks of Advent, which were just so lovely. And it was kind of exciting to know what the next week's covenant was going to be in advance, you know. So I was really expectant. And the word he gave for us here is planted. And so I just started exploring that. And the Hebrew word is nata, and it means to plant, fix, establish, to set in soil for growth. And it's a verb, and of course it's agricultural. Something that I just became so aware of, like I've known, but in this season that we've been in the garden, Papa planted all these glorious things, and he planted Adam and Eve. He also planted the second tree, and he also planted the enemy there. That is where the enemy, you know, fell. That's where he landed, in the garden. And Papa was so secure in who he was. He wasn't afraid to allow that to be planted there because he knew who he created Adam and Eve to be. He knew who he created his people to be. He knew there would always be this ability to return and restore and rebuild. So he never was afraid of ruins, ever. And so I think of all of the things that have surrounded us, that have been planted in this year. and so aware that alongside a virus and an election and many, many things in this year, he allowed where he planted us from the beginning was in him. That's where he planted Adam and Eve, not in a geography, but in him. And in this year, we've had that invitation to be planted, to remain, to be art, you know, all of those things. And where we're planted is not in the world. We're planted in him. And the real reckoning has been for us to remember who we're of. That this wasn't external. We have always belonged to him. We have always been of him from the beginning. And so we're not trying to get our bearings. We are deepening our roots in these days because there's a reason he needs us to remain. So he's not concerned that in our planting, our doubts, our questions, our fears came with us, because he gave us this garden time where we could find beauty in every day, where we could discover him more fully in every day, so we could confront the things that keep us from him, the things that keep us from being deepened, the things that keep us from growing, the things that keep us from being the evidence of his extravagance, you know, the sign of his goodness. And so in the midst of all these wonky world things that have been happening, we've had the time and we've had the space. You know, we have been in the coordinates we're meant to be, to confront and to ask the questions we have, to deal with the doubts and to face those fears, you know, that we have, so that those are not supplanters in our life anymore, because there is a supplanter who tries to take over, tries to take the place of God, tries to, a supplanter tries to take the place of what was there first. And we've had this incredible opportunity to reveal that we won't let our God be supplanted, because we are planted firmly in him, and we are becoming more and more an outgrowth of him, an expression of his extravagance, evidence of who he truly is. And the fact that we have had our own things to face in this year, whether it was illness or finances or family things or things that have always been there that we've been able to kind of tiptoe around because there were so many other things happening and we haven't been able to do that. That is glory. That is his glory filling the earth, when we can come to the place and say, there's nowhere I'd rather be but with you. Not just with you, but in you, so firmly rooted. Because planted means deeply rooted, deeply seated, fixed in place, pitched, like he has pitched us here as his tent. And I just can't get away from the truth that even though things still look a certain way in certain spheres, the bride wasn't supplanted this year. And if you don't know, that was such the effort of the enemy to bring something false in our place, to bring something that seemed more effective, more powerful, more whatever. You know, I mentioned it last week, Moses and the magicians. If you don't, you know that that was all effort of the enemy was aimed at that, was aimed at uprooting a bride, you know. And there will be things that will be changed. The church will be changed, is changed from this year, and we get to choose that that be for the better. You know, we get, that's the choice we get to make. And we don't have to be shaken by the fact that there are things planted here around us, with us, that are designed to turn us to Him. Like, He has never been afraid that we would need to return, ever. That's been our history. But the invitation has always been that we would remain. And to get to be the people that will remain is, I mean, I can't imagine something greater than having that said of us, that we remained, that we, you know, that was always the invitation to remain. And yes, we always have the opportunity to return, but remaining is the invitation. And we've gotten to choose that in so many ways this year and be that. You know, I just feel like, I didn't look this up, but there's a root word somewhere related to remnant that means those that remain, you know? And that's who we are. And there's all these things we can look to. Just over the past days, He's been taking me to different places where it speaks of plantings, different kind of plantings, and where people were really concerned about different things that were planted alongside. One was in Numbers, the story in Numbers 24 with Balaam and Balak. And there's these prophecies that keep getting made. And Balak is trying to get Balaam to, you know, enact some curses. And he really wants God's people cursed. And gosh, we felt that tension this year of just, you know, the enemy not wanting us to make it. So the king is trying to get him, this is the king of Moab, he's trying to get Balaam to do this. So three times. So the first time, Balaam fails to actually curse Israel. The second time, he blesses Israel because he just couldn't resist God, you know. And then the third time, he actually cursed Balak. You know, he turned the tables. But he says, Balaam has this moment where he's like, the Lord says, I must speak. And he realizes all these promises Balak made him weren't going to come to fruition. He wasn't even going to get paid, you know, at this point. He wasn't going to get the wages of this war. And you know what? We're not either. We're not going to get the wages of the war the world's been in. Because we've got eternity. We've got forever. We're not going to get anything for ourselves out of all of this that's been happening. But if we will speak the word of the Lord, if we will dwell in that, we're going to bless everything God intends to have blessed. And there will be abundance. Like, that's what the bride carries, is to remain. And what we remain in, who we are planted in, that is the abundance we bear. That's what we bring. And it's blessing to that which He intends to be blessed. I know years ago, the Lord spoke to us to really know what we were laying our hands to was what He had laid before us, because we had this abundance in us. And so what we touched could be blessed, and to know it was Him that wanted to bless that, that it was something He wanted to touch and have multiplied before we laid our hands to it. And I think we really have had that invitation this year. What will we lay our hearts upon? What will we lay our hands to Is it something he wants to be abundant? You know, so it's incredible what we've really been invited to. And then he led me to Jeremiah 12, where, you know, in Jeremiah 11, he's kind of had a rough, his life has been just pressure on every side, just every tension you can have, he's had. And so in Jeremiah 12, he's talking to the Lord about the other things that have been planted, and they seem to be fruitful. And you know, he says, your name is always on their lips, but you're far from their hearts. And he's really lamenting this. And he's actually kind of impatiently clamoring for God to come and hurry his judgment. You know, don't stay your hand anymore. Come and bring your judgment on this. And God says to him, well, if running with the footmen wearied you, how will you run with horses? You know, do you not see that I'm strengthening you? Do you not see that I'm preparing you? Not for this life of hardship, but to be a carrier of abundance. Do you not see the places I will put you from here? And Jeremiah has this realization that his heart and life were tested before the Lord, but all of these other plantings weren't. They didn't go through that, the pruning and the purifying and all of those things, because they weren't going to be called where Jeremiah was going to be called to. And it's the same for us. We've been, we've had our hearts tested. We've had our truth tested so that we can go farther and faster than we have ever before. Mm. And so we are such a fortunate people. We are so fortunate to be the ones called to this, to be the ones created for this. We're not just called to it, we're created for it, you know? In the garden, Adam and Eve listened for the Lord, and that word is Shema, and it's more than just having your ears perked up, you know? To hear something, it means to understand, to pay attention to be ready with the response, you know, so that when God would say, where are you? Why are you not with me? You know, they could quickly come and be ready to respond. He wasn't afraid for their return, but he was always inviting their remaining. And so then the last place Papa took me, just related to planting, was Psalm 119:17, where David says, deal bountifully with your servant that I might live and keep your word. I might observe it. I might tend to it. I might put a window in it when you have me in an ark. And that prayer should be upon our lips, because over these past months, there's a lot of other things that have probably been said. And maybe many times we've had things on our lips, but haven't allowed him to be in our heart, to be the force or the fierceness of them. And we've reacted to things in the world instead of responding to him. And so one of the greatest things we can pray in these last days is, deal bountifully with me, that I could live and keep your word. You know, we focus so much on destiny and, you know, job and all these things, the work of our hands, and we can miss the work of our heart, the worship of our heart. And what David was saying, so deal bountifully, it's charitably, it's gemel. Mm-hmm. And from the seed of that word, it's gamal, and it means mature me, ripen the fruit in me. I want to be a weaned child who has been so nourished. I know what's inside me. I know what's been given to me that I have to go and multiply now and bring to the world. It means to mature in God. It's mature grapes. So make me so abundant in who you are that I will live in a way that your word is made flesh wherever I am. Because we get to do that. That's what we get to do in weary places, in impoverished places, in ruined places, is come and rebuild with his word. His word, his intent, his plans, his purposes. And so to ask him, deal bountifully with me. You know, it doesn't just mean give me, you know, if I had this, I would do this. No, this is, I have been so filled. You have been so abundant to me. How could I not go and multiply? How could I not live according to your word? How could I not live that? And, you know, we all have a holy occupation, and that is to be priests and servants of the God of the King that we have crowned, to go and do what he has done and continues to do through us. We are the planting of the Lord. We are the remnant. We are the remaining ones that won't have to keep returning, because we will remain. I've seen that so much in this year, the covenant of it. You know, there are things we would have run from before, you know, in our own life, in facing those, dealing with those. There have been hard things, and to be able to remain and not run has been such glory. I don't have a better way to say it, but yeah.
And such an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my goodness. You know, that old who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you just have these moments where you think, and I know this is something we felt in our hearts. I mean, I remember this 12 years ago, but maybe at the very beginning it was just the unfathomable realization that we were getting to do these things, that generation after generation had been crying out for. But so many people had declined. You know, it just, you know, you have those handful of intercessors that have just been, you know, crying out to God, and we are seeing all of that.
Yeah.
Wow, what an honor.
Yeah, and he's, you know, walked us through restoring the foundations. It's not surprising he would now have us rebuild, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think that's kind of the world's frustration, even the church's frustration in the place that it's been, is we have to rebuild, you know. And it's like, well, we get to rebuild.
We sure do.
Mm.
Amos 9, you know,
yeah.
and I mean, we found one in Ezekiel. I mean, it's just like all over the prophets. Every prophet just had that. Somewhere in there, they had their own version of, you're going to rebuild. You're going to restore. You're going to redeem these things that happened. And I mean, that is one of the foundations of Isaiah 61.
Yeah, I was just pulling it out. I had that in my notes.
It was the scroll that Jesus read in Luke 4, and that he began and read a verse and a half, and then the rest of that verse through verse 7 is the bride.
Yeah.
And we get to be the oaks of righteousness. You know, we get to be the priests. You know, we get to have abundance in our inheritance of our land,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we rebuild these things because there has to be a place, you know, there has to be a place for those who come after us.
Yeah.
To see the light.
Yeah.
To know the love.
I was thinking about Amos 9 and then Ephesians 4, where it talks about he will lead captivity into captivity. You know, he will take captivity captive. Mm. And I love that so much because it's got such a personal application and then such a earth application, because he's saying everything, if you'll allow it, everything that has ever captured you, I won't just remove it. I'll take it captive where it can't affect you ever again, you know. And then for the earth, the whole earth, I'll turn the tables, you know. So what oppressed will be captive, will be captured. That's where we're going. But if I'm going to turn the tables, I need to make sure you've got spots at the table for those who have been captured.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's it. We've got to have spots at the table. And that, Isaiah 61, the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore places long devastated, renew ruined cities, and devastated places that have been devastated for generations. And then it says you'll be set apart as priests of the Lord, priests and servants, as holy occupation. Others will care for your flocks, be plowmen and vine dressers. You know, you'll be able to focus on this work. These things that worried you, they won't. That I've got it. I've got it taken care of. You will be able to do this work. And we still get so bound up by all those details. And here he's promised, I will take care of those for you if you will be set apart for this, you know?
Yes.
So incredible. And as we were going through Advent, I didn't write about it. I could have actually written about King Herod, you know, not one of the holier ones in our story, but I saw something I hadn't before. And when he's talking to the Magi, and you know, he's trying to trick them and all of those things, and he knows there's a prophecy. He doesn't understand it, even though he's in the season of its fulfillment, mm-hmm. Because he's trying to get for himself. He's trying to establish something instead of be established, you know. And he says to the Magi, basically, a king for the Jews, and he says it in this way, you know, that it's kind of offhanded, but when you look at all the root words of it, he actually said, who cares for the Jews? Or, you know, he was making a statement, I don't care about the Jews, but he was also making a statement of why this king needed to come. He was saying, who cares for the Jews? He wasn't, you know, they were in exile, all these things have happened, and he's, you know, he's surprised, whatever. He doesn't want to be supplanted, but he was not there first. He was not the king that was coming. And so he makes a statement, who cares for the Jews? And it was an accusation, but it was kind of said with trepidation of what would happen if these people realized they were cared for. Mm-hmm. Like, what would happen if they really recognized they had a king who had come for them? And that's what we get to be. Like, we get to be the sign of his caring. We get to be the sign of the king that comes every day to care for his people, to gather those who don't know him yet, all the things we know, but because of us, no one, no king, no official, no government, no nation could actually say, who cares for the Jews? Who cares for his people? Because of us, because of who he is to us.
And just to think that Jesus kept that for us as an inheritance.
Yeah.
That all of these honors, you know, he read the beginning and just stopped and left it for us so that it was ours. It was our honor. And the generations before us that could have, the generation that surrounded him that could have, that he cried, you know, why can't you, why do you not have, you know, this generation? And we get to do that.
We do get to do that, and to recognize that every time his people were surrounded, every time other things were planted to help them recognize who they were of, you know, to help them recognize what they didn't belong to. You know, one of my gratefuls from Advent is, I don't belong to that. I don't belong to that. He will always plant those trees so we know where we don't belong, you know, and more so we know we belong with him, not just to him, but with him. Because those are two things of the garden. Yes, we belong to him, but we belong with him. Anytime his people were ever, you know, surrounded by those other plantings, and it could be called oppression. And I know, you know, many would feel like there's just a lot of oppression, you know, in our day. But what I know is they always multiplied. So if he's giving us an invitation to multiply, let's do that, you know, because that's how his abundance will be known. Mm. It's how it will be so obvious, so evident that there is a God that cares for his people. There is a king that comes for his people every day.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And that Isaiah 61 culminates, they will rejoice. Not just have a party, they will have everlasting joy. They will remain. They will be completely connected. Nothing can sever them from their God, and that's where joy is, because he is joy. Dun, 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 dun. Well, happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. It's a whole new yes.
Yeah, it is a whole new yes. That's good. It's a whole new yes. We're kind of past saying no now.
We're way past saying no.
Yeah.
I don't like that word.
Yeah. So we'll be with you next week and share what, you know, what we're hearing for this new 2021.
Yeah.
New year.
The new Gregorian year.
Yeah. And we love you. We're so grateful to, though we haven't been able to be gathered, we've been together in so many ways this year. Thank you for every email, every communication saying, we're so glad to be together. We don't feel alone. We don't feel adrift in these days because we know we're being gathered for something greater than we've ever been gathered for before. Mm-hmm. And we're so grateful for every single one of you.
Yes, we are. We love you much.
Bye.